light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. On this day, I want to start by asking, how many here have either been in love with someone or something? I'm not going to ask you who or what that thing is that has your love. However, I do want to ask you, what is it about them or that special thing which makes you love them? Let's look at the word love. It's known as a strong affection or a warm attachment, to cherish or to take pleasure in. So, in other words, love is a serious word, one not to be used lightly. In 2 Kings 7, 1 through 2, Elisha replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a shay of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and two shays of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" "You will see it with your own eyes," answered Elijah, "but you will not eat any of it." It is here in this passage of Scripture we see that Elijah foretells, notwithstanding the great straits to which the city of Samaria is reduced, yet within 24 hours they shall have plenty. Ask yourself, what's coming your way? Man's extremity is God's opportunity of magnifying His own power. His time to appear for His people is when their strength is gone. So on this day, people of God, I dare to pose this question: when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? In these days and times that we are living, and it seems like everything is pulling us away from the mandate of God, the mandate of God for us, for those who dare to call Jesus Christ our personal Lord and Savior, is to say those words in Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord, send me." But we have to be ready. We have to be prepared, because if you say, "Here am I, Lord, send me," get ready. "Here am I, Lord, send me," guess what? It doesn't come with an age requirement. "Here am I, Lord, send me," doesn't come conditional. "Here am I, Lord, send me." I'm sure if we knew that we were being sent to Hawaii, the list would be endless of people signing up. "Sign me up. God, I want to go, but I'll go if you send me to the Bahamas. I'll go." But God is calling us to simply say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Send me not to the place that is lush. Send me not to the place that looks the best. But send me to the place where your heart is broke the most. Send me to the place where I can do at my age what you have called me to do. "Here am I, Lord, send me." I will have you to know that I've come this way with a word from God, and the word today is titled, "It's Time to Get Up and Go." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day, Lord. God, we thank you for everything that has happened up to this point, God, to set the atmosphere, God. We feel your spirit, your presence in this place, God. And we pray right now, Lord, as we prepare to go into your word, God, we pray, God, that something is said here today that will charge us, that will empower, equip us to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Not where I want to go, Lord, but where you desire me to be, Lord. Because where you desire me to be, you will meet me there, God. So, Father, we give you this time as we gather around your word. And we'll be ever mindful to give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The word time is known as a duration regarded as belonging to the present life, as distant from the life to come or from eternity. As we look and live in this world, we see that things have gone so far from the original intent that God had in mind in Genesis as he created the world. But I'm reminded of that phrase, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? If you would grab your Bibles and turn with me to our text on this morning, coming to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. This is a very familiar text, very familiar passage of Scripture, one that I'm sure that we are familiar with. We've probably heard it preached and used countless different times. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So right there we see that the 11 disciples, they went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But even in the midst of worshiping God at the place where he directed them to go, for some reason, doubt was still in the midst. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." So what did he say? What does it say? Therefore what? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Therefore, he told them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, stay and sit." All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Wait for the people to come your way. He says, therefore, go. Therefore, go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very ends of the age. On this day, in this message titled, "It's Time to Get Up and Go," point number one, and if you're taking notes, this is a good place to start. Point number one is, we must represent a living God to a lost and dying world. If we are ready to accept the mandate from God that it's time to get up and go, then he's calling us. He's telling us, all right, you already committed that you're ready to go. You already committed that the world is lost, that there are people out there that don't know me. So if you're committed to this, number one, you must represent a living God to a lost and dying world. The word represent is known as to present again or anew. It's also known as to serve, to express, designate, stand for, or denote. Reading Matthew 16, 13 through 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So on this day, people of God, if it's time to get up and go and we are ready to answer that call, ready to answer that mandate, that we must represent a living God to a lost and dying world. Before we go as a representation of God to this lost and dying world, we have to know deep down within us who He is to us. And the only way we come into a place where we can say who He is to us is simply by being with Him. Dark days are going to come. Every day is not going to be a bed of roses. If you're thinking that every day in this Christian life, no matter how young, no matter how old you are, is going to be a bed of roses, wake up, because you have another thing coming. It's time to get up and go. We see when we turn on the news that the world is literally falling apart, for lack of better words. So what do? Oh, we pick up a newspaper thinking that things are going to be different. And for some reason, the newspaper seems to bring it more to reality. The newspaper seems to bring it more to home, because in the newspaper, it's not only things that are happening millions and millions of miles away. In the newspaper, there are things that are happening in our very own backyard. He's going to call, sure, He calls people to be evangelists, to be pastors, to go. But for some of you, that going that He's calling you to is the very area that you've been in for years. But when you say, God, it's time to get up and go, I'm ready to answer this call, you know what He does? He opens your eyes to a new sight. For those of us who are emotional, who are touchy-feely type people, He gives us a new heart. To see people maybe at the bus stop, to see that person in our school, to see that person on our job, to see the person in the grocery store who we just greet from time to time, and we just assume. Think about how many people we've assumed know Jesus, but when you begin to get into a conversation with them, they have no idea who He is. But yet, because our ticket is punched, yet because we know when we breathe our last breath on this side, we're going to be with Him. I don't have to worry about them. Oh, my friends, we do. Why? Because it's time to get up and go. We must represent a living God to a lost and dying world. And the only way we do that is by answering the question, who do you say that He is? Moving on to point number two, we must reintroduce Christ to those we encounter who don't know Him. The word introduce is known as to present a person to another so as to make acquainted. Think just for a moment of the number of people we encounter day to day. Do we seize the moment to share Christ with them? Oh, we see so-and-so in the neighborhood, so we just assume, you know. We just think, yeah, they're saved. Yeah, I go to school every day, and I talk to my friend, we have lunch together, and I just assume that they have a relationship with Christ. But as we leave their presence, they're in one class, we're in another. We can't understand, we can't seem to fathom why God won't get that person out of our head. It's like they're sitting next to us and yet they're in a whole nother room or in a whole nother wing of the school. Because God is saying, hey, before your time is up, before our time is up, that person that's at your lunch table every day, that coworker that you've been parking to for the last 10 years, that person at the grocery store that smiles at you, they're messed up on the inside, and I need you. I'm calling you. I'm not calling them. Oftentimes, we want to say, you know what? I'm not called for that. We're all called for something. We're all called for something, and we're all called to do something. Our thing is, the phone is ringing. The phone has been ringing, and God's waiting for you to pick up on the other end. But the key is, this is not a wrong number. That phone is going to continue to ring. And ring and ring and ring until we pick up and simply say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Mark puts it this way. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. What has God been calling you to leave behind to follow him? It might be friends. It might be family members that say, "You know what? Ever since you met this Jesus guy, you got a little weird. You got a little crazy. And you wonder why we don't invite you to everything, because all of a sudden you used to be wild and partying, but now when we invite you, you want to pray over everything. But God has changed you." God comes in and he changes us. So what is God? What has God been calling you? And that's a question that you are going to have to answer for yourself. Husbands, wives can't answer that. Wives, husbands can't answer. We can't. Mothers, you can't answer it for your children. Children, you can't answer it for your parents. We each have to sit before God. And we have to say, "God, what is it that you're calling me? What are you asking me specifically to lay aside so that I can come and follow you?" Because if you come and follow somebody, you can't be worried about what you left behind. Because you'll be still, you'll become stagnant, and that person is still lost and dying without Jesus. If we are truly called to represent a living God in a lost and dying world, if we are truly understanding of the fact that we must reintroduce Christ to those we encounter that don't know him, then finally we'll be able to reassure the world of his salvation power to all who call upon his name. Jeremiah 33:3, while Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says: "He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you did not know." We can all agree that the world is dying, right? We don't have to take a special poll. We don't have to do any kind of, you know, searching or anything like that. We can just go home, cut on the TV, we can cut on our cell phone, and we can see that the world is literally dying. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Are we comfortable that when we were lost, thank God that the school teacher answered God's calling and invited us out? Thank God that mom prayed enough to get us into a relationship with God, and now we're safe. We're over here. We're in the safe zone. Think about it like this. For the younger generation, it's the person that you've been catching the bus to school with every day. You guys meet at the bus stop. You chit-chat in the morning. You play tag. You play games. You talk about everything. You do sleepovers together, the whole deal. You guys have a great relationship. You go home at night. You're praying before your meal. You're praying before you go to sleep. You're praying when you wake up in the morning. And God is saying, you know what? You need to go tell Joe about me. You need to tell him about me. Oh, God, tomorrow. You need to tell him about me. God, I have a science project. You need to tell him about me. Oh, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. It's homecoming, God. Come on. It's prom, God. Monday, you and Joe catch the bus together. Tuesday, you and Joe catch the bus together. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you and Joe catch the bus together. Monday comes. You go to the bus stop expecting to see Joe. You get to the bus stop, and who's at the bus stop? Joe's mom. And all she tells you, Joe didn't wake up this morning. Now you're like, oh, if only, why didn't I do? You share a cubicle at work with your coworker. And you think they've been ragging on you because your music is too loud. The reason why they've been ragging on you is because they were trying to find some way to tell you that they don't have a relationship with Jesus. There's no music playing in their cubicle. But for some reason, when you're down, you always find a way to come up. And they're still down. And God's saying to you, that's the one. You see them at the vending machine in the break room. God is saying, that's the one. God, I got this report I got to get out. I'm going out of town for a conference. God is saying that's the one. You come to work and you peer over in their cubicle and the desk is clean. What is it going to take for us to wake up and say, you know what? It's time to get up and go. I can't wait for another friend. I can't lose another friend. I can't lose another family member. God, you're calling me. Why? Because it's time to get up and go. And the only way that we know and we can be sure that it's time to get up and go is by simply saying, here am I, Lord. Send me. There are locations that God has for each and every one of us. There's things that he's calling each and every one of us to do. He's simply waiting to hear that phrase. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And if the musicians would come and begin to get into place and play. It's time to get up and go. We look at things and we think, I can make my bills. I got food in my refrigerator. I got books to take to school. I got clothes I can wear when I go to school. I'm good. I'm all set. Everything is okay. But deep down inside, you're heartbroken. Deep down inside, you don't know what to do. Because you know of people who don't know Jesus Christ, who you know for sure that if we closed our eyes and I gave out a pen and a piece of paper and told you before we leave today, we're going to commit these people to prayer who don't know Jesus Christ, I'm sure there will be people in here asking for more sheets of paper. The question is, are we comfortable knowing our ticket is punched? Picture it like this. You're going on a trip with your family. They didn't have enough money to buy their ticket, but your ticket is punched. You got your ticket. You paid for your ticket in advance. Are you going to leave your child in the train station because your child didn't have enough money to buy their ticket, but you got your ticket and you're like, oh, well, I'll send you a postcard. The place that we're going, there's enough room for everyone. There's a party waiting for everyone. God has given us the invitation. Will you show up at that party with no invitations because you've answered the call of God and you've given all of your invitations away? Or would you show up at the party with a stack of fresh, unsealed invitations because you didn't want to say, here am I, Lord, send me? Everyone standing with all heads bowed, all eyes closed. You have no idea about this person I was sharing about today. You have no idea about this man named Jesus. But you say, you know what? I think today is a best day than any to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. To ask him to be my personal Lord and Savior, so that when he gets to my number on the list, I will be able to pick up and say, here am I, Lord, send me. In this time that we have, is there one today, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but today is the day that you're ready to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And you want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If that's you and you're here today, all you have to do is simply slip up a hand nice and high and say, God, I need you in my life. I need you to come into my life today and make me anew. Is there one today? Back is against the wall. It seems like everything is going wrong. And you don't know where to turn. But you know there's a God. But you say, you know what? I need just a little bit more strength to go and speak to that person on my job. I need a little bit more strength to go and speak to that person at my school. I don't want the words to say, God, I want you to give me those words. If that's you, the altar is open. For those that need a special, just want some prayer. You need some prayer about something that you're facing. You need prayer about strength to be able to face and to be able to share, to be able to be that representative that God has called you to be. If that's you and you're here this morning, I'm going to call up Pastor Randy and the elders of the church, and we're just going to pray. If you're here today and you need prayer for whatever it may be, as the worship team sings, we're going to just open up these altars and we're going to pray. We're going to believe God that he's able to meet you, that he's able to meet you at the point of your need.
appreciate so much the word you shared today. Always a good word in season. And the one point that really stuck out to me was the fact that we need to represent a living God to a dying world. And so my question in closing today is, what kind of God are we presenting to the world? Are we presenting a God who is alive and who is real? Or are we presenting a God who is dead? For us to make an impact on the world for Christ, Christ has to be alive in us each and every day. And so as folks are coming up here praying, Brother Charlie, if you'd like to come, as folks are being prayed for, I'd just like to take this time to pray for every one of us en masse this morning, that Christ would be more alive in our lives. Because we do more harm than good if we're sharing the gospel, but we're not living it. And I'm not just talking about not lying, not cheating, not stealing. I'm talking about living in peace and in joy, knowing that our present, our future is secure because of what Jesus did in the past. Hallelujah. In dying for us. So would you join with me in prayer this morning? And let's believe God and let's ask God to make Himself more alive in our lives than He's ever been before. Amen? Amen. Let's believe God together. Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank You this morning that You are a living God. Jesus, You said to the scribes and the Pharisees that God is not the God of the dead, but He's God of the living. Hallelujah. And You're not only living in heaven, You're living in each and every one of our lives if we have accepted You as our Lord and as our Savior. But God, we have kept that new life under chain. They might be chains of sin, they might be chains of discouragement, they might be chains of fear, but we've kept that new life chained up so that it's not evident as we live our lives. And so God, we pray in the name of Jesus that You set us free in Jesus' name to live for You as You have called us to live. And to demonstrate to the dying world that Christ is alive and He lives in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.